So good to see you this morning. We've had a good day already because we've got to celebrate and worship the Lord and recognize firefighters and people of the badge already today, and we're going to do it again this service. So thank you so much for coming. You know, I told the earlier service that Charles and I and our board, we actually wanted to do this last year, because it was last year that our police officers especially were facing such, shall we say, scrutiny and difficulty and opposition. And we wanted to recognize them because we've done this in the past, and we wanted to bring them and say thank you then. However, pandemics and COVID and restrictions and such didn't allow us to do that last fall, last late summer. So today, we have arrived at this day that we call Badge Sunday, and we are so thankful to have men and women of the badge, police officers, firefighters, first responders here with us again. Last week, I'm sure you, like me, were probably seeing things on perhaps TV or YouTube or whatever you see about the reminder of 9/11. A week ago yesterday was the 20th anniversary of that tragedy. And it is a good reminder to all of us who are not in the field of wearing the badge of the life of the police officers, firefighters, first responders, what it can be like. We were also mindful last summer of the rioting right here in Minnesota, and the rioting that went on from coast to coast. And we're reminded when we look at those images of what it can be like to be a police officer, a firefighter, or first responder, to say that some of those times are chaotic would be an understatement, hectic, and sometimes tragic. I was also reminded just a few short weeks ago, upon being called to a death situation myself, that quite often some of the ones there at the death scene are police officers, firefighters, or first responders. Quite often, they're the ones that are there dealing with tragedy and death, dealing with these types of situations. Death and tragedy and carnage and destruction is what these people get called to all the time. And if that isn't hard enough, dealing with the difficulties of life, to protect and to serve our officers, cars say, if that isn't difficult enough, these men and women get blamed for things, and they get painted into a corner when something goes wrong someplace, and they all get painted with a very broad brush. You know what I'm talking about, friends? Last year, we saw it over and over and over. All the while, they're trying to protect and to serve. Recently, you have seen the headlines like I have seen them. Officials from different cities around our nation, including in our own state, suggest that police departments should be defunded. And I learned just yesterday in talking to a pastor from the cities, law enforcement officers are leaving en masse. In some departments in the Twin Cities area, they are about half where they should be. That leaves the tragedy and the difficulty and the mayhem and the carnage and the emergencies, well, it leaves some of them unattended to. And it's for these reasons and more that we have invited men and women of the badge and firefighters and first responders here today, so that we could, in fact, worship together, but also so that we could tell them thank you. Thank you for what they do. Thank you for what they do day and night. Thank you for putting on the badge and the uniform, the helmet, and the protective equipment. Thank you. We will bring them all forward, those that are here at the close of our service, to recognize them, give them a little something, and pray for them, and to say thank you officially. But may I remind all of us, regardless of our occupation, whether it's a police officer or a firefighter, first responders, or 100 other things, all of us are but one breath away from eternity. You still with me, friends? All of us are one breath away from eternity. It could be a house fire that a firefighter gets trapped in. They lose their lives every year. I'll give you a statistic in a minute. It could be a bullet. It could be mayhem and madness. It could be a tragedy like we even as pastors get called to from time to time. But all of us are one breath away from eternity. And no decision about Jesus, to follow him, to surrender to him, to give our lives and say, Lord, take over. No decision about Jesus is a decision for eternity. And we're all just one breath away from that. Let me share some statistics in Scripture, and we shall invite our guests of the badge forward in a little while. I was reading on the webpage Officer Down Memorial. Actually, I've been looking at it for 2 or 3 weeks, and the number keeps changing. The number of deaths keeps going up. When I first started looking at it, it was at 266 for the year. It's the other day when I looked at it again, it was 273. Death continues to happen among our police force. This year, just to break that down a little bit, of that 273 officers that have died, 39 have died to gunfire. 40 have died to vehicular assault and auto accidents. Many more have died due to stabbings, drownings, heart attack, and yes, COVID-19. Three who put on the badge from Minnesota have died this year. Ryan Bielke from the Red Lake Nation Police up at Red Lake. Sarah Ann Backer-Grell, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And Mark Anderson, Olmsted County Detention Deputy right here in our state. As I was looking for results in the firefighting world, I found this quote. In 2020, it ended with a total of 96 on-duty deaths per the United States Fire Administration. You see, friends, one of the reasons Charles and I and our board wanted to bring together law enforcement officers is to remind all of us of their motto to protect and to serve, but to remind us, too, to say thank you to them for putting their lives on the line every day, in every call, in every situation. They, as well as us, are all literally one breath away from eternity. And I said this also earlier, I want to say it today here in this service too. I know we have veterans here. I know we have active, we have inactive, we are retired, we have people abroad that are in the military. We want to say thank you to them too. We will recognize them, but today we have chosen the people of the badge in the police departments, highway patrol, fire departments, etc. Just 2 weeks ago, Sherry and I were away for a few days on vacation, and we worshiped in Fillmore, Minnesota, with a Free Methodist church there. We have friends there, and it's a beautiful part of the state, and we just wanted to stop in there and worship with them. Excuse me. And we heard a great message from interim pastor David Martin, and we enjoyed our time of worship with that congregation. And while I sat there and listened to interim pastor David, he spoke from Ephesians chapter 6. The title is Putting on the Armor of God. Most of you know what Ephesians chapter 6 talks about. But as I sat there and listened that day, I thought, man, how relevant to us in everyday life is this? But then I also thought, how relevant to the people that will be in our church in just 2 weeks, that's today, those people of the badge, law enforcement and firefighters, etc. And so I thought I wanted to use the same text, that's all I'm going to use from Pastor David's service, but the same text, and remind us of the importance of that armor. So I'm in Ephesians 6, if you have your Bible. It'll be on the big screen if you like to look at it there. But I want to remind us of the importance of putting on the armor of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul describes here in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, he is talking to the church at Ephesus. He is talking to followers of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, he says this. So this is a challenge to all of us. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I just want us to absorb that for a second. We can do life in a lot of ways. We can do it in an attempt in our own might and our own intellect and our own cleverness. But it won't work the way it could work if we live like the apostle and the word challenge us to live. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. NIV says, in his mighty power. That's how we need to live. I believe that life starts and ends in Christ. What we do with Jesus has eternal consequences. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, what Paul is saying, let me just elaborate a moment. We can put our confidence in our titles. We've all had some, or at some degree, some place. We can put our confidence in our degrees, in our education, our protective gear, or our stuff all day long, but that's not where our strength and power come from. Paul says real strength and real power is in Christ. Church friends, invited guests, listen to me for a moment. Don't put your faith in you. Of course, we got to have some confidence in ourselves to go through the day. But don't put your faith in you, your accomplishments, your stuff, your titles, your degrees, not even religion. Our faith needs to be in Jesus. Paul says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he says this in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why would he say that? Because there is an enemy to the church. There is an enemy to marriage. There is an enemy to humanity. The Bible calls him the devil, Satan. We have an enemy. And that's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord, because in our own strength, we cannot have defenses against the enemy. Be strong in the power of the Lord. And so he says, put on that armor of God that you may be able to stand against those tactics of the devil. And then he elaborates when he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When we're wrestling in this spiritual match, we're walking in this spiritual realm. Yes, we're having a physical experience now. We're all sitting here physically, but we are in a spiritual realm. Our souls will live forever someplace, one place or the other. And so when Paul challenges us here, We've got to be aware of that. We've got to get on the armor of God because we have an enemy, and this enemy is not flesh. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what we're wrestling against. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Listen, friends, we've got an enemy. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. Jesus has told us, the scripture tells us, the devil is real. The devil is a liar, he's a murderer and a thief. Jesus said in John 10:10, who comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. We have an enemy. Paul likened Satan to a roaring lion looking for whom he will devour next. We have an enemy that is real. And this enemy, hear me now, friends, this enemy wants nothing more than to see people forget about Jesus. The enemy wants nothing more than to see people forget about the fellowship of the church. The enemy wants nothing more than us to forget about getting our strength from the Lord. We can do it ourselves. The enemy wants us to forget all of that. The enemy wants us to forget about having our protective gear to do battle every day. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, this enemy is real. This is not a sermon about the devil. I just want to establish the point. We have an enemy that is real. And Paul reminds us of that. And to combat that, we must put on Christ. We must come together to fellowship and pray. We must read from the scriptures. We must keep on that armor to be able to combat the wiles of the devil. Let me divert here for a second and bring this into reality for us. Our police officers will not go to work without protective armor. Am I right, Chief? And all the rest, they're not going to go to work without protective armor. Those officers will grab their riot gear, and in cases like last summer when we saw riot after riot, they're not going to walk into that without their shields and their protective gear. They're not going to go to demonstrations and difficulty without their equipment. They must protect themselves against the elements and the hazards of duty. They would never want to go into these situations unprepared. Firemen and women, our local department here has both firemen and firewomen. They would never think of going into a burning house without their protective equipment. They need their SCBA and their helmet and their coats and their pants and their boots. They need all of that. They cannot go into a burning building with t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. They're going to go into these situations protected. What's my point? We can't do life without Jesus either. That's my point. We can't go it on our own and expect everything to turn out just right. To pigeonhole Jesus into 15 minutes a week, well, that's not giving him much. We must put on Christ. We must be willing in our mind and our heart and our spirit to surrender by faith to Christ and put on Christ and His Spirit to be able to navigate the pathway of life, to never give God any time from the Word or our fellowship with our believers and time in prayer. It's not putting the armor on. It's taking it off. That's my point. We can't do life without Christ. Friends, listen, if we're going to try to go through life without putting on Christ and his power and his strength, we will not survive, and more importantly, we will not be ready for eternity. Jesus is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. As followers of the Lord Jesus, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, and he's telling us, we must be prepared for the temptations and the battles of life. We must get on that armor, just like our men and women here today must get on their armor to protect themselves. Paul says we must for the hazards that are out there of the enemy. Paul elaborates in those verses 14 through 18 about the protective gear. I'm just going to read through it. You know what it says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist. And he begins to describe the different elements of protection. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect their heart and their chest. You got to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet. You look at the Roman soldiers and you can see their lower legs would be protected. Paul says to the believer, protect your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, take up the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's where it all starts, friends, our faith in Christ. And take up the helmet of salvation. We need to protect our mind. We need to protect our head from the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know what's in the Word of God. Amen? You still with me, friends? You getting drowsy? We need to know what's in the Word of God. How can we know the will of God if we don't know what's in the Word of God? How can we know the direction of life if we're never in the Word? How can we draw closer to the living God and His Son by His Spirit if we're never in the Word? That's what he's talking about, putting on that armor. And pray. Pray always, he says in 18. Pray. That's keeping on the armor. As Paul closes out this advice, he describes in detail how important it is to protect ourselves in every possible way against the powers of darkness. That's what we're up against, people of God. We want to pray for our invited guests here today against those powers that manifest in all kinds of ways. And we're going to in just a moment. But friends, let me say this first. Just like our police officers, law enforcement people, and firefighters here today need a great deal of protective equipment to protect themselves, to do their jobs and try to be safe, we all need to put on Christ. On Tuesday of this last week, I did a funeral for a 37-year-old. Did a couple funerals the week before for folks who were older, but funerals nonetheless. Did a funeral the week before that for a 51-year-old. This 37-year-old was out on his afternoon routine on his four-wheeler. Not even sure what happened. All they know is four-wheeler was in one place and Jonathan was in another. And when people come upon him, Jonathan was gone. I suspect some of our local police departments, first responders, firefighters were the first ones there. Here's my point, friends. 37 years old, having fun one minute on his daily routine and gone to eternity in the next minute. Are you hearing me, friends? Where will you spend eternity? Getting ready for work a month ago, 1 minute, visiting with his wife, and gone to eternity the next. Where will you spend eternity? You say, Jim, well, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church some, or I was in Sunday school class or confirmation class or something else. Those are wonderful. But are you following Jesus? Because when he was here, that's what he asked of us. To deny ourselves, be willing to take up our cross, put on the armor and follow him. That's not a 15-minute gig on Sunday mornings. That's a life choice. It's a life choice, friends, that we must make. No decision for Jesus is a decision for eternity. And I just want to reiterate to us again today, there's going to come a time, Jesus describes this in Matthew 7, 21 and 22. There's going to come a time when we're going to stand before the Almighty God. We may not think about that much because we may be young, we may be too busy, but we're going to. And Jesus describes in Matthew 7, 21 this. He says, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you hearing me, friends? Jesus said, not everybody that says, well, I went to church, Jim, or I was a pretty good person, or I was a Sunday school teacher. He said, not everybody that has said to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. To decide to follow Jesus is not on occasion. It is to follow Jesus. When he called the 12, when he called Matthew and the fishermen, it wasn't for say a prayer at the altar and go back to doing what you're doing. It's deny yourself and follow. No decision about Jesus is a decision for eternity. It's a conscious decision. It's a spiritual rebirth. My spirit has been reconnected with the Spirit of God because of Christ and my faith in him. And so I simply ask us this morning, friends, have you put on the helmet of salvation? Have you trusted Christ as Lord? Are you living for Jesus? Are you walking in the newness of life as that new creation that the Bible describes, that person who has been born of God? Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. Please ponder, where will I spend eternity? Because I am surrendered to Christ is the only way to spend it with him. Amen. Want to invite firefighters, not here to put you on the spot, but we want to pray for you. We want to say thank you. We want to give you a hand. Firefighters, police officers, highway patrolmen, first responders, please come line up here so we can pray for you. Would you please? We have a little something for you. We want to say thank you. And so if you would, we want to have you come forth. Just line up along here. And we want to pray for you and say thank you. So we have firefighters and we have men and women firefighters and highway patrolmen and local police officers. And we have little ones that want their daddy back right away. So we'll get daddy back really quick. Come here. Yeah, he can come. Yeah, he can. So, men and women of the badge, the Motley Free Methodist congregation want to say thank you. We know that the last 2 years have been challenging, to say the least. And we just want to say thank you. We're here with you to support you. We pray for you. We want to encourage you. And we just want you to know you're not alone. When the media and some others sometimes paint you in a corner of ill, we want you to know we're with you. And so I'm going to pray for you. Charles has a gift for you. Then I'm going to ask you, congregation, we're going to stand and give them a hand. But let us pray. Rather than lay hands on them, which I would like to do, just to put our hands on them, just reach forward, brothers and sisters, today. As we pray for them, let's do that now. Reach forward, brothers and sisters. Let's pray for them. Father, thank you for these men and women who have given their life in service to us to protect and to serve. Some of them are even volunteers. They get the call in the middle of the night and they race off to try to put out the next house fire where lives are in danger. Some are on the streets every day. Some have guns pulled on them and traffic opportunities to run over them and everything else. Father, we pray, protect them. Protect them, Father, with a supernatural protection. When they put on their daily armor, help them also to recognize, I need the armor of God. And help them to trust you completely, Heavenly Father, and you, Lord Jesus, and be led by your Spirit in all ways and all avenues of life, and protect them, O God, we pray. Protect their families, bless them, and all the rest that are in our communities that serve and protect and volunteer in these capacities. Protect them, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, Father, and help them to walk in your way. And thank you again for them. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.